Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, live here from Smoke on the Water and Diesel. Quite frankly, today, I don't know who's got the tougher job. Me being back here at Smoke on the Water after some time away for vacation and, of course, recovering from surgery and seeing all the beef brisket and the pulled pork and everything else coming out of the kitchen going back. You think any of these customers are going to be upset that a couple of their French fries, maybe a piece of their brisket all disappears on the way out to the table as I just stop and get it? Because I'm telling you, it's getting harder and harder to do as it gets a little bit busier in here. Don't forget, 4 to 7 p.m., Greenville's best happy hour here at the corner of Augusta and Main, and, of course, open 7 days a week. That includes at 11:30 with a daily lunch special. That's Smoke on the Water. So, again, we're going to talk South Carolina Gamecock football with our buddy David Cloninger here in the next segment. We'd love to hear your opinion at 844-GSP-ESPN. Do you think Maryland got it right earlier today? Now, one thing that I don't like in it is I keep seeing this pop up on my Twitter timeline. Rick Court releases resignation letter as Maryland head coach. Okay, again, he was the strength and conditioning coach that yelled, quote, drag his ass across the field as Jordan McNair was struggling. You remember, his temperature was over 106 degrees an hour after the incident took place. I mean, that will kill you in the hospital. But how high was it when he originally was going out of it? I mean, it's beats per minute in his heart, 184. And that was after he got to the hospital. So what could have been done? Well, this one really, we found out, and I could not agree with Kevin McGuire anymore from NBCSports.com just a little bit. Shame of it all is this apology between the University of Maryland there. It took place today and not a couple of months ago. Now, I'm sure that probably had something to do with lawyers and the, you know, things of that nature. But now you're seeing all these tweets on my timeline. Rick Court releases resignation letter as Maryland strength coach. All right, again, the strength coach releases his resignation letter that reads, let's just take a second here and dial this in. To Coach Durkin, Athletic Director Evans in the Maryland family. As a coach, it is critical for me to live what I strive to instill in my players, which is to be committed to the welfare of the team and to be a good man on and off the field. After thoughtful reflection, prayer, and support, I have offered my resignation to the University of Maryland. The football student athlete's mental and physical health remain my number one priority. Thus, I am stepping down to allow the team time to heal and move forward. I will continue to cooperate with the university's investigations, and I will be transparent with inquiries while respecting the legal process. I will also ensure a smooth transition so the team is well prepared for the upcoming season. Then it gets into I'm not going to summarize this. Jordan McNair's life and death are what we must all remember to put first as we face the future. What did we learn? How will we improve? What can we do to pay tribute to Jordan's life? The gravity of the situation has deeply impacted my perspective on the why I am coaching. I thank Coach Durkin for his leadership and friendship and my colleagues and the staff for their constant support and commitment. I am also incredibly grateful for the relationships I have built and the outpouring of love I received from my current and former players near and far. Lastly, I'd like to thank President Lowe and our new athletic director, Damon Evans, for their due diligence in seeking to find the truth. I intend to take this time to reflect and bring all that I have learned into new opportunities. Please continue to keep the McMahon family in your prayers. Go Terps. Respectfully, Rick Court. Here's what I got some issues with when it comes to this. Diesel, you can hit me in chat if you're around the microphone here at some point, but I don't buy some of this. First of all, I don't want to cast this guy as he, you know, walked up to somebody in the crowd and just put a gun next to his head and pulled the trigger. However, sitting there, you know, talking about doing everything, had you done that, we'd have never owned this position in the first place. But here is my issue. You resign and you get a $315,000 payout earlier today. He gets a lump sum after a settlement with the University of Maryland of $315,000. That is two-thirds what he was due on the remainder of this contract.
You know, sir, it's a fine line.
Go ahead.
Because, you know, it's a coach's job to condition his players. So, yes, it was absolutely pushed to the limit. But at the same time, I don't know if you've ever been on an athletic field. There are players who don't want to hustle. There are players who don't want to push themselves.
Right.
There are players who don't want to condition themselves. And so a coach doesn't really know, because who knows? I don't know. We don't know in relation to how, was he 10 yards away from the guy? Was he 50 yards away from the guy? We just don't know. Should he have known that the kid was in real dire straits? I don't know. If you're 50 yards away, it's hard to tell the look on a guy's face if he's wearing a helmet. And
but
I'm not
his
trying to,
teammates knew that he was in problems.
Right.
But
I'm not trying to defend
him. My issue is $315,000 is a nice chunk of change to walk away with when you resigned your position yesterday. Number one, I don't want to see Rick Court resign from his job. He beat the firing deadline. You know what I mean? But $315,000, man, that's a pretty nice chunk of change to walk away from. Now, again, the Jordan McNair family, they're going to get a lot more out of it in the future moving forward. But that's not exactly a bad parachute that Rick Court got today. Now, he'll have to deal with this for the rest of his life, and that will probably be more troubling than anything else, and I wish him nothing but the best in dealing with the situation. But that just kind of looked wrong to me that Maryland gave him a lump sum settlement of $315,000.
Yeah.
Bernie wants to talk Maryland. Bernie, my apologies. Am I wrong on this one, or is that just a little too soon?
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. No, I mean, you know, it's really a hard situation. Again, how are you going to tell? There's so many guys out there playing, performing, practicing. They all got their helmets on. Everybody's doing their own thing. Coaches are looking at, you know, it's split second. You know, it's hard to really tell.
But this I know. Yeah, I get you. But this much we know, because we went through the timeline yesterday. Again,
right.
It's a little bit he said, she said, but the players are saying it was completely and totally obvious to them that Jordan was in trouble. You know, that he was not himself.
Yeah,
he did not
with
look
that,
himself
aspect,
in the eyes.
Yeah, but I'm looking at it
right.
From a coach's standpoint. I do coach Pop Warner. You can't keep especially your eyes on everyone that's going on. But,
right.
Yeah, I see your point. If a player brings that to a coach's attention, yeah, you got to levy some help and, you know, tell the kid, hey, sit down, because these kids are trying to overperform
right.
a lot of times, you know, to stand out.
And, Bernie, being the coach, what would win you more respect in the locker room? To me, it would have been shutting things down right there, making sure one player got the attention he needed. And, boy, you know what? That would
yeah.
have been a nice way to show your team I've got your best interest at heart versus them showing up a month later for a funeral. So,
yeah, exactly. I try to institute with my ball players is an acronym. It's STARS. STARZ. Slim Tobin Amber Romberg Zaslon 790.
Oh, ticket. God. Okay, last time. I don't know what to say, Diesel.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
I really
either.
Don't.
I don't know what to say either, Sturge. You know, the point he was trying to make is essentially decent. It's essentially correct, even though, you know, he's trolling the show. Whatever, man. It's funny. But he's right. As a coach, you can't watch all 85 scholarship athletes. And, you know, if the player is that out of it, if he has worn himself out that much, hopefully the player will know to sit down, you know, and say, you know, coach, I'm not feeling good, man. You know, this is bad. I'm not feeling good. You know, these athletes, it's not like it's the first time they've ever run wind sprints. It's not like it's the first time they've ever had athletic trainers around them. You know, they know to throw up their hand or signal, you know, the training staff in some way that, hey, I'm injured, I'm hurt, I'm not feeling right. Come on out here and take care of me. They should know that.
Number two, here's the deal. There's just not one strength and conditioning coach on the field. There's four or five of them, not to mention student managers and everybody else. So you cannot convince me on that field somebody else outside of the football players didn't realize what was going on. I've watched a guy go into heat over heat. It's scary as hell. And this was on the golf course. You know, fortunately, we were able to, you know, real quickly respond, get him cooled down, get some water in him, and get him back to the clubhouse. But he wasn't himself, and it didn't require 10, 110-yard wind sprints to figure it out. It was a matter – it was right there. Now, again, we were on the tee box when this was happening. But you can't tell me that somebody wasn't within 5 square feet of him – at that given point in time. So let's try it one more time. Nate from Nate wants to talk about Maryland. Nate, hope you're having a good afternoon.
I am. One thing I was thinking about is I think some of this needs to be taken out of the coach's hands if possible. But, I mean, I think the use of some kind of biometrics, you know, obviously you got guys trying to compete for, you know, very limited spaces, but and everybody's going to put in a different amount of effort. But if you could monitor core temperature, whatever it is, that would then tell the training staff there'd be some absolute that after a while you just have to take somebody out. So I think everybody's competing. You need to take some of this out and maybe look at data. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call. Great there. I'm with you. And number two, this is the final era. Somehow we've got to get it out of us. And listen, I love old school football. But you got to get out of the take a salt pill mentality out of it, and you got to realize that you're dealing with athletes here. Let's get one more in. Ed with Maryland. Ed, welcome in.
Hey, Sturge, how are you?
Doing great. Hope you are.
Yeah, I am. Thank you. I used to coach high school basketball here in Greenville. I was at Wade Hampton High School for a lot of years, and I just can't believe there was. Yeah, I was there from 89 to 96. And but I just can't believe there was one coach on the field with all those guys. These college staffs seem like they got 50 coaches. I'm sure somebody wasn't doing their job. And, you know, as a coach, you got to keep your eye on your kids. You got to know your kid. I don't care if it's a freshman or a senior. You got to know your kid. You got to know what they can deal with and how much they can take. And they should have realized that kid was struggling. You know, and if he's trying to push himself to impress you, you still got to know your kids well enough to know when they're in trouble.
Well, one guy can't do what every guy does. Now, maybe you can make that claim at the end of October when everybody – this is the first off-season workout. Not everybody's showing up in the same shape, Ed. You know what I mean? So you're right. You got to know. But what I – listen, you go through warm-ups at Clemson before a football game or Virginia Tech where I've been – it maybe not all the position coaches are out there, but you see that they have about 100 student managers and everybody else. So I can't buy for a minute nobody saw outside of his teammates, and unfortunately that's why we're dealing with this situation. But let's head out to break. When we come back, we'll get a check-in with our buddy David Cloninger from the Post and Courier down in Charleston. Of course, he's the Gamecock beat writer. No practice for the Gamecocks today, but a lot of action here in the last few. All right, welcome back in. We are live here at Smoke on the Water, 1 Augusta Street in downtown Greenville. Check them out at saucytavern.com because there is an open-ended gift card here for our next guest. It's our buddy David Cloninger from the Charleston Post and Courier. Just simply give him a follow on Twitter at DCPNC. How you doing, David? What, just 16, 17 days before kickoff?
Not too bad, Sturge. How you doing?
Man, glad to be back here at my home base of operations after being gone between vacation and surgery. It's a great day to be back. But listen, no practice coming out of Columbia today, but they had a second scrimmage yesterday. Everybody tells me it was sort of the opposite of the first one, number two. Am I correct with some buddies I trust that kept hearing or kept sending me the name Rico Dowdle?
Well, I think we all know the talent that Rico has, Mark. And the main thing about it, he's shown that every time he's gotten on the field. The problem is staying on the field. Hopefully he's doing a little preventative maintenance this year to try to avoid some of those lower body injuries that he's had in the past couple of seasons, because USC needs him to look its best. He's very talented with the ball in his hands, and as long as he's on the field, South Carolina's got a great chance to win.
You know, South Carolina went at it pretty hard, David, a couple of scrimmages over a three-day period. You know, looking at what's going on with Maryland and everything else, how was the attrition rate? Is that the first time they had kind of gotten that much work, that much physical work in that short of time?
Well, everybody's doing well. You know, the off-season strength program really helps out. Everybody seems to be very conditioned. Of course, they've had the standard bumps and bruises, but they've only had a couple of, like, real long-term significant injuries. So that's always a good thing. Just the other day, though, they did lose a Chavis Dawkins for probably a couple of weeks with a high ankle sprain. So you hope the best for him. You know how those ankle sprains can linger. But Chavis was definitely going to be a great special teams contributor this year, if nothing else.
What about depth on the defensive line? You were hitting it on your Twitter account yesterday. Again, that's DCPANDC, DCPNC. You know, depth has been an issue. We know about the NCAA is now looking at the pill of Josh Cook. But how are things progressing? Because that was one area that bit South Carolina a little bit in the first 2 years. Not a little bit. Quite frankly, a lot at times in the first 2 years of the Muschamp era.
Yeah, it's kind of the same tale as it is the past 2 years, Mark. They're really confident in who they have to start, but the rest of it, it's not that they're bad, it's just that they're inexperienced, you know? So
right.
They just don't have a lot of guys who have played behind that starting four on the defensive front, and now there were a couple of guys that you might could have gotten in there that are going to be out. Tyreek Johnson, young man from Sumter, he tore his ACL up, so he's not going to play this year. And then you look at Jesus Gibbs, who tore his meniscus, which if you're going to tear a knee ligament, that's the one to do, but he's going to be out a couple of weeks and then have to get that back to us to form. So, you know, they're out there. They're trying to find the best guys to do it. Rick Sandich, who is like the cherry on top of the recruiting class, is playing very well, and he could get in there, but it's just trying to get those guys up so they're confident when they have to put them in games. You know, it's kind of just a vicious circle, Sturge. You can't get experience until you play, but you don't want them to play because they don't have experience. So what do you do?
Well, and then again, the other side of it in college football, you know, Shamik Blackshear, he's been around, he's gone through various issues health-wise and everything else, but, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, it kind of felt like when he showed up, the expectations in the future would be a rush-in kind of linebacker, but he's getting bumped inside to get some more speed on the field there in the middle.
I think that's a big thing about scheme, Mark, just because they do so much with that buck position as kind of a stand-up edge rusher, and you can't have a guy like a Bryson Allen Williams play that in more of a linebacker role, or you can't have DJ Wanham in more of a traditional defensive end kind of role to play that for them. So Blackshear is more of that end, that buck that can rush the passer, but he can also play inside just to get some more speed on the field. Hopefully they can get a lot of production out of him this year because, you know, like a lot of kids were, coming out of high school, he was supposed to be the next big thing. But a lot of it because of his own personal decisions, because of a poor attitude, because of some injuries, sure, but some things that could have been avoided. He really hasn't done anything since he's been here. So he's definitely going to get that chance this year.
All right, one more question, football related. Who's the backup quarterback? Jake Bentley has been named to the watch list for the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award. But, you know, in this day and age, whether it's professional, college, or even high school, you know, you better have two ready to play at some point in time of the year.
The coaches have no doubt that Michael Scarnecchia could be the guy to go in there and make all the throws. That being said, it's the same situation as last year. Everybody's hoping and praying that they don't have to see any significant time out of Scarnecchia. Nothing against him. It's just that he has not played that much. And, you know, they need a little bit more than just a strong arm. So if it ever came down to where a QB would have to play significant time, Scarnecchia would get his shot, but I'd put my money on Jay Yurick out of Wren High School playing the lion's share of those snaps, again, if there was a need to. And then, of course, you do have to look at DeCarrion Joyner, the true freshman. He might give Yurick a run for his money. But right now, the backup quarterbacks, in a fan's view, are content to remain backups. They need Jake Bentley upright if they're going to have a great year.
No doubt about it. As we begin finishing up with our good friend David Cloninger, DC PNC, that's DC for the initials, PNC for Post and Courier. Also, here we go. Don Staley's Gamecocks and the Road to the Championship. There's a book that David wrote as well about that memorable season. Always be willing to check that out. But, David, who was more intimidated there in the arena last night? As I saw a picture of Double A Arn Anderson and Frank, Coach Martin. I'm telling you, two of the toughest guys, one in entertainment sport, the other in just sport.
Yeah, I tell you, it was great to see, you know, one of the toughest, most ferocious, legendary enforcers in the entire sport pictured with Arn Anderson. You know, that really made my day. So apparently a good time was held by all or had by all. And if there's going to be a reunion of the Four Horsemen, I think Frank can take on that Tully Blanchard role. I think he'd be a natural in it.
I actually played golf with Tully Blanchard at the George Rogers Golf Tournament about 6 years ago, and it was just an absolutely fantastic 18 holes, talking about that back in the day. All right, the other thing is I wanted to get out. Frank Martin and the Gamecocks basketball team released its non-conference basketball schedule today. And listen, there is a tournament, I guess, if you will, in November where they'll face Providence in the first game, and then either Michigan or George Washington in the second game. You got Wofford coming into town after the Gamecocks opened their arena last year. And then it's an interesting road trip at Wyoming, at Michigan, and then they get 11 days off like Frank Martin likes there, right around exams before Virginia comes in on December 19th, and then Clemson coming in on December 22nd. And both of those ACC teams will be ranked there early in the season.
Well, they should be, Serge. And, you know, this is probably the toughest non-conference schedule that Frank has ever lined up. But that's what you got to do these days to try to get your RPI there. And, you know, a lot of people say, boy, why is he doing that? But a team with eight newcomers, you can call it good or call it bad. The way I look at it is that this is the kind of team that with that kind of schedule, you can probably win 18 or 19 and don't have to go too far above 20, and your RPI will probably get you in the NCAA tournament. That being said, with eight newcomers, it's going to be awful tough to win 18 or 19 with this schedule. So we'll see how it goes, but there's definitely a lot of blue blood programs, a lot of tough opponents on that non-conference schedule.
All right, listen, we got a lot of talented people here in the state of South Carolina, but I'm not sure anything more talented than the Post and Courier staff. You covering the Gamecocks, Grace Rayner on the Tigers, not to mention Sapikoff and everybody else working down there. Again, you put all your work up on Twitter at DCPNC, but what do y'all have coming up? Do just give us a little bit more food to get us to that opener there on September 1st.
A little bit of everything as we get down to the final 2 weeks of preseason camp. You can read up on Clemson's quarterback situation and pretty much everything else going on around the Tigers and the Gamecocks. Just check us out at postandcourier.com.
Hey, David, listen, man, sometimes we don't go this long without talking, man. Just thanks for everything you do, and I mean it. You and your lovely wife, y'all have an open-ended gift card here at Smoke on the Water. Just let me know when you're able to come up here and take advantage of it. And, again, thanks for everything. I appreciate it, bud.
No problem, man. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Again, David Cloninger from the Charleston Post and Courier. All right. We have open phones till the top of the hour when we will get the check-in from Clemson. Gary McDaniel from Clemson Sports News. As the Tigers held a situational scrimmage earlier today, and, of course, Dabo Swinney met with the media afterwards. But we'll take your phone calls. If you got feelings on the Maryland situation, hit us up, 844-GSP-ESPN. But it's also Tim Tebow's birthday. Open phones for the rest of the hour, but you know, Diesel's back there serving in a couple of capacities. He's training. You know what? I don't like Hulk. Matt Hogan back there, our board op. No, man, because Diesel's our buff CrossFit athlete on staff. So at first we were going to call Matt Hulk Hogan, but yeah, I'm liking Hoagie Hogue, something like that.
Well,
Diesel,
we should have a.
I got a bone to pick with you real quickly if you can hop up on the microphone for
we
me.
We should have a name. I know he's not an intern, but we should have a name the intern contest and put it out there on Twitter and find out.
But Diesel has caused me some issues within my household here. I don't know if I'm doing it right when it comes to raising my child or doing it wrong, but I got the feeling Diesel's somewhere responsible for it, so we'll hit him up here when we hear.
You got me now, Sturge?
Yeah, I got you.
Sorry. We need to have a name the intern challenge. I mean, again, I know he's not an intern. He is a producer in training, but still, we can call him an intern. So we should have that.
It's Matt Hogan. Right. And it's our right to name him. You know,
he's ours. We get to name him.
Yeah. He's a Jaguars fan. I figured that much out yesterday. Interestingly enough,
please
from what
don't
I gathered,
name him Jaguar.
No, we're not calling him
Jag.
He
doesn't get a nickname that cool.
No, but Jag was too cool of a show, too. all right, so we could call him Bipolar and try not to make any fun of him. Why? Because, he grew up an LSU fan but went to South Carolina, so he's got the entire SEC East, SEC West thing going on. But
so we call him Benedict Arnold. How about that?
Do I get to speak for myself?
I never figured out, even though, my best roommate in college, who was not a member of my fraternity, he was a Delta Tau Delta, but he was from Metairie, Louisiana. So I figured out the YATS pretty good. That stands for where you at. But I never figured out how the hell they tried to spell a simple two-letter word, go, G-A-U-X. I mean, talking about making things difficult, that kind of defines it right there. But, Diesel, my bone of contention is with you, all right?
Well, Matt wants to know if he can talk for himself, Sturge.
Yeah, I was curious if I was allowed. I was wondering if I was allowed to defend myself on all this.
No, you have a 3-day moratorium. Keep your mouth shut. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. Now you'll figure that out about radio sometimes. Definitely don't. But give our listeners a little idea of your background, because, you know, it just the one thing that we can give you here at ESPN Upstate is a wide variety of backgrounds.
Well, I got hooked on LSU football when I was about 5 years old, and ever since then it's been game over in terms of college football. And I went to USC because LSU's 15 hours away.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, having to drive I-10 all the way across there, that could be a long time. But again, we're glad to have you, and we'll have some fun. No doubt about it. Moving forward, now here's some of the stuff you may get to put up with sometime down the road. Diesel, I got to be honest with you. Diesel's not a board op. When we say Sports Talk's most decent producer, we mean that with all the love in the world, because he won't accept any higher accolades than that.
No, that's as far
as
I want to go.
Diesel's literally become part of our family. You know, he's been on a vacation with us before. He's taken time with Leslie Brooke. But this one's on you, okay? And you can decide if you're making a positive or negative impact on my daughter's life, okay? Are you ready? I'm cruising down the hallway in my house last night, and she's jamming out to Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne in her bathroom.
Yes!
You know where that comes from, don't you?
Please don't ever say that you're cruising down a hallway, Sturge.
All right, I'm walking down the hallway in my house last night, all right? And she's in the hall bathroom. You know, we're building my wife a new master bathroom in a closet that hopefully it's going to be finished here in about the next week or so. But, again, she's in there, and, you know, and again, Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne is what she was jamming out to.
Right on. She's got good taste.
Yeah, I do. It's like,
now we
got
to get her on Over the Mountain, Flying High Again. There's some great Ozzy tunes that she needs to know.
Okay, well, maybe you can do something about it. But I literally stopped and I had to put that one up on Twitter going, I don't know if I'm doing this right or not, but there could be a whole lot bigger battles that you're picking with a 17-year-old daughter who's at home. You know what I mean? So, all right, Tim Tebow saw his name pop up on a list today. You know, we're almost out of what we like to call Listtober here. We've had every list fed to us for 2 months trying to get us through to kickoff here next Saturday, all right? Does Tim Tebow Diesel come down? And, Matt, I'll take your opinion as well because you're obviously a hardcore football fan, plus you grew up there in Florida. But in your opinion, does Tim Tebow come off as one of the 10 biggest busts in NFL history, at least in our lifetime? You know what I mean? Now, my lifetime's a little bit longer than y'all's, too. But I do remember Tim Tebow in his rookie year with the Denver Broncos leading them to a playoff win.
I think Tim Tebow is a prime example of expecting too much out of a player that we all knew probably wasn't going to be that good anyway. He was one of the most electrifying players to watch because I love a guy who plays with that much heart and emotion, and you love that because all we see are these guys who have the canned answers, who know how to answer the questions perfectly, and it's boring. And Tim went out there. He wore his faith on his sleeve. He wore his emotions on his sleeve, and his emotions were positive. You know, he's not a Baker Mayfield out there grabbing his crotch or planting flags at the 50-yard. Right. He's not disrespecting the other team. His whole goal was to uplift his own players and his own team, and that was what was so refreshing about it, and we loved him, and I think we all wanted him to be a good pro quarterback. But I think we all kind of knew that he probably wasn't gonna.
Right. But
and
still,
we expected too much out of him.
Right. But still, should he be at the top of the list of top 10? Because I'm going to get into that here in a minute. Because I will make you the case.
I don't think he should be.
Yeah, they're much bigger busts.
Agreed.
Matt, you're an LSU fan, even though you grew up there in Florida. But for that time period, Tim Tebow actually made Florida football worth stomaching. You know what I mean? Because, again, you know, uplifting his team versus some of the stuff that we saw from Baker Mayfield. Fair?
Absolutely. And I think if you look at a lot of these defensive linemen and offense, especially, you know, like Eric Fisher, Luke Jokel, a couple of these high drafted offensive linemen, they're out of the league in 2 years. Tim Tebow was a first round pick. So anytime a first round pick is out of the league within 5 years, that's a big deal. But I don't think he's one of the biggest of all time, especially considering all these linemen I was just mentioning.
Well, since it's pick on Ohio State time of the year, is that fair? Because we've been picking on them here a little bit. The biggest bust in NFL history in my lifetime is Archie Griffin. The only two-time Heisman Trophy winner and went on to do nothing in the NFL. Now, that would be my number one, but we'll get to that when we come back. Let me give you a quick rundown of some of Tim Tebow's accomplishments. Tim Tebow turned 31 years old today. We feel like he's some kind of old-time fogey. Like me, who has nothing left. You know, he's on the disabled list right now in minor league baseball. But some of Tim Tebow's accomplishments by his 31st birthday included being a part of the 2006 national title team in which Florida routs Ohio State 41-14 in the BCS championship game of 2007. He's also the 2007 Heisman Trophy winner, finishing with 32 passing touchdowns and 23 rushing touchdowns. Also, if you remember, he's probably more memorable for the promise speech that year that he delivered to the Florida team as well as their fans after that loss to Ole Miss there in Gainesville, in which the whole team rallied around it and they went on to win 10 more games and another national title in 2008. He also breaks the SEC record for rushing touchdowns. Think about that. Herschel Walker, George Rogers, even though George wasn't part of the league. Tim Tebow at quarterback has the record with 57 rushing touchdowns. That's more than anybody in SEC history. He was a 2010 NFL draft first-round pick of the Denver Broncos. He also had a comeback versus the New York Jets on Thursday Night Football. He was inserted into the starting lineup after a 1-3 start, and he led the Broncos to five come-from-behind wins en route to an AFC West title. And, of course, that one game in which we were talking about with the Jets with 6 minutes left, 95-yard drive for the winning score. Oh, yeah, which he scored on a 20-yard run. The 2011 AFC wildcard game over the Pittsburgh Steelers. You remember that in overtime on that 80-yard game-winning touchdown play? He's also been a minor league all-star. Again, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, and he's made it up to Double A in a completely different professional sport. And, oh, yeah, he happens to be dating a former Miss Universe by the name of Demi Lee Nell Peters. Now, first of all, it's too many freaking names there. But she's still a former Miss Universe. That's actually the second time that he's now been linked to a former Miss Universe. Sign me up for all of that by my 31st birthday, and you can put me as number one as the biggest bust of all time when it comes to the NFL. Is that fair?
I'd say at this point, you could almost call Tim Tebow the greatest failure of all time because he is great, but he is a failure at his sport, his chosen sport of football. But everything all else right. in his life has gone incredible.
How about this? Is he the equivalent of what I watched a bunch of biography shows last night when I got home in the background, the history of the Rolling Stones, the history of Metallica. But this was said about Guns N' Roses. Would it apply to Tim Tebow? Actually, we'll get to that when we come back. 844-GSP-ESPN. All right, remember, you've got 7 minutes to text the 5 p.m. keyword in to 72881. It is Bail, B-A-I-L. Now, let's stop and think about that. You can only text in the keyword for the hour, which is Bail. But now I look at the 4 p.m. keyword was raise. The 5 p.m. keyword is Bail. Is there a little secret message in there? Help me. Come raise Bell. Get me out of jail. But we'll give you the 6 p.m. keyword. Maybe it's what they did wrong. Who knows? Maybe there is a theory to this stuff. But, again, you can text Bell, B-A-I-L, to 72881 in our Carolina Coaches free cash dash contest. Remember, 12 times a day, we give you an opportunity to win $1,000 free and clear on Intercom, Intercom Greenville, as well as ESPN Upstate. So, Diesel, you were talking about being one of the greatest failures, and, you know, we were talking during the break, yet either one of us would settle for one of those accomplishments that we just talked about with Tim Tebow.
Absolutely.
All right. But I, in the honor of you, you know, and I'm an old music guy, people may not realize that. Last night, Biography, what's that, A&E that runs the Biography shows, it was all music related. And I watched one Guns N' Roses, the Rolling Stones, The Who, and Metallica.
Okay.
All right. They were talking about the band Guns N' Roses as nobody has ever sucked at handling greatness so well. And that's a really fair statement because they screwed themselves. Axl Rose is an idiot. They couldn't. Slash was the only one that had a brain there for a long time, and people made fun of him because you couldn't see the eyes. But there's a lot of truth in that.
True, but their new tour did net over $500 million, so they're doing something right.
What, Appetite for Whatever, what it was? So,
No, that was their first album.
No, that was Appetite for Destruction. Now, they we waited 13 years, according to this biography last night.
I'm talking about their most recent world tour that took place over last fall and this spring, netted over $500 million.
All right, so we'll see if they can keep it going or if they continue to suck at greatness. All right, but, you know, here's a list you could sign me up for as well, and we will continue this one on the other side. you know, as we end Listtober here, as we get into real football, it's the 10 biggest bust of our generation. Now, it also, I throw in one, I get to throw in one older name because I'm older, you know, I'm 50, and Diesel's not, and Matt's younger than that, all right? So, when I think of an all-time draft bust, I don't think of somebody that went on to win a playoff game. And, Matt, I thought you had a legitimate point during the break in which had Peyton Manning not left Indianapolis and signed with Denver, who knows of what Tim Tebow's football career could have come to, because he was coming off a playoff win in that rookie season. But, of course, you know, Peyton Manning comes in. The rest is history. The Broncos go on to win a Super Bowl title in his final game. When I think of a bust, like one of the top 10 busts in our time period, I think of Ryan Leaf. All right? Number two overall. We never had the expectations of Ryan Leaf, of Tim Tebow. When he was drafted, by Josh McAdams at number 22 in the first round, likely the only team that would have taken him, but all it takes is one team. Ryan Leaf, you know, we saw it became a battle. Do you take Peyton Manning and the DNA of that family and the, you know, cool, calm collectedness of his career at Tennessee, or do you take this junior that has all the physical attributes and is passionate, and he led Washington State to the greatest era of our lifetimes, you know. Ryan Leaf, to me, kind of takes it because he ended up with a career NFL passer rating of 50, 14 touchdowns to 36 interceptions. That's so much worse than what Tebow did. He was at least a 75.3% passer rating, logged nearly 1,000 yards rushing, now only completed about 48, 49% of his passes. But that's still better than what Ryan Leaf did. Now, to give Ryan Leaf some credit, he battled addiction issues and everything else and has fought his way through it, too. He'll tell you I'm one of the biggest failures when it comes to it. So, to me, Ryan Leaf epitomizes one of the two biggest busts. And I don't think there's any conversation when it comes to it.
The truth is Tim Tebow's game just didn't translate to the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a bigger, stronger Johnny Manziel. He had the ability to run around and create plays and use his creativity, and that just doesn't fly in the NFL.
Well, the name you mentioned, we'll get into a conversation after we get our Clemson update here at the top of the hour from Gary McDaniels with Clemson Sports News. But, I mean, where would you rank when it comes to Tim Tebow and Johnny Manziel? Because I still come back to the fact that Tim Tebow's got a playoff win. Johnny Manziel couldn't get anything done. Now, he gets a second bite off the apple if he can, as Matt said, if he can quit throwing interceptions for the Montreal Alouettes right now. But the reality is that team's a pretty bad CFL team. So there might be a little bit of room to improve the legacy of Johnny Manziel. But after we get through talking some Clemson football, what are some of the names that I'd put on this list? What are some of the names you'd put on this list? We'd love to hear your opinion. But we had a check-in from Columbia a little while ago with our buddy David Cloninger of the Charleston Post and Courier. Now it's time to go down to Clemson here at the top of the hour with our buddy Gary McDaniel of Clemson Sports News. The Tigers, they had a situational scrimmage today. We'll find out if anything happened when it came to the quarterback position or anything else as Dabo Swinney met with the media. Hour number three, live from Smoke on the Water when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.